What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own weekly Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, this is the last show before the Chargers square off with the Texans this weekend. We're going to start the show today by talking about the Chargers Thursday injury report, where we saw some surprise ads on there and some guys we're glad to see back with the Chargers healthy. Then in the second segment, we're going to be getting into fan questions and John's all-time series notes. That's something we had a lot last year, was letting John Kegley tell us the overall record and a bunch of fun notes from the two teams that are playing that weekend. So this week it's the Chargers and Texans all-time series notes. And then we have a bunch of fan questions that we're going to get into. So we're excited to do that. Thank you guys again for asking those questions. So today we're going to get into those. And then to wrap the show up, like I said before, we'll be getting into our bold predictions offensively and defensively. And then we'll get into our game predictions for this one. I'm really interested to see where you guys go with this. I'm not sure I know, as of the start of this podcast, where I'm going to go with this prediction. So let's go ahead and get into it, guys. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by my co-host, David Drogemeyer, to bring you the lead story of the day. And today, there's not very much news, but the Chargers Thursday injury report is out. And that's the biggest injury report of the week, because it's the last day for the Chargers to fully practice, and the biggest indicator of whether somebody's going to play in that weekend's game. So, David, a couple of surprise guys that are on the injury report are Keenan Allen and Mike Pouncey. Mike Pouncey is the more concerning one because he was added on Thursday, had nothing going on Wednesday, was a non-participant on Thursday, which is late in the week and very scary. And Keenan Allen was limited both days, and both would be big for the Chargers to have this week. I think Keenan Allen's going to play. It's much harder to tell with Mike Pouncey.
Yeah, I mean, you're a little bit scared that Mike Pouncey might not be out there because he's missing the most pivotal practice of the week, especially when he wasn't hampered with an injury beforehand. So, yeah, you're definitely concerned, although I think you're feeling pretty good about the potential of moving Dan Feeney over to center if need be, and then opening up a spot for Forrest Lamp to get on the field and play at left guard in Dan Feeney's stead. And as far as Keenan Allen is concerned, I'm not really too worried about Keenan. I think it's more of a veteran rest type of situation. I think Keenan Allen is going to be out there. I think this is just maintenance to help get Keenan to play throughout the season.
I believe so as well, and definitely both very important to this game. But Dan Feeney was extremely impressive in the preseason at center, and we have all expressed the need for the Chargers to have Forrest Lamp on the field more, so it gets him on there. It doesn't help your tackle situation. But getting into more of the injury report, David, we could see the first of three guys this week that could potentially benefit the Chargers defensively, and that is Jatavis Brown, Denzel Perryman, and Roderick Teamer, who have all participated fully in practice this week, which is the first week this season that's happened. And the Chargers could get some much needed help, especially with tackling and stopping the run, and with Roderick Teamer getting a very versatile player.
You're excited to see Roderick Teamer on the field. They used him in multiple positions in preseason, and I think they can use that versatility. I mean, he was already slated to be the backup strong safety, and with Adrian Phillips going down, you're going to see Roderick Teamer a lot in this game at strong safety, helping out that secondary. I think you're going to see Denzel Perryman rotate in to kind of help spell Thomas Davis a little bit. He's played a little bit more snaps than I'm comfortable watching him. He has a lot of tackles. He's leading the NFL in tackles, but I think it's because he's chasing a lot of guys, not necessarily because he's making impact tackles. And I think Jatavis Brown will help covering those tight ends and those guys over the middle of the field. So you're getting a couple of guys that can definitely help your defense in positions of great need.
Jatavis Brown is probably more of a depth piece. He's not going to help your tackling from what we've seen from him recently, but all of those guys have been an important part to the Chargers defense, and Roderick Teamer has been a guy the Chargers coaching staff has been very high on since they kept him on the 53-man roster as an undrafted free agent on the Houston Texans side. They are mainly healthy, but the big one you see on this that is a plus for the Chargers is Laremy Tunsil. Their new addition at left tackle has been limited all this week with an ankle. For an offensive line that's already had such a chaotic start like the Houston Texans have, vowing to be better this year and giving up 8 sacks over the first 2 games this season, that's not good news when your left tackle can't find some chemistry with his teammates that he just arrived to. He is out and not really practicing and a limited participant, so that's not good. Texans, besides that, they are pretty healthy and are not going to miss anyone major they had last week. No big news for the Texans on their injury report, but for the Chargers, you just have to hope your key players can play that you expect to play. Keenan Allen, hopefully Mike Pouncey, and Michael Badgley should make a big difference as well this weekend, because the Chargers can't afford to leave any more points off of the board in the kicking game. But we do have to get into the next segment, talking about the Chargers-Texans all-time series notes with John Kegway and getting in to our fan questions. But I do want to tell you guys that it's not too late to get some money in for this weekend to bet with my bookie. Game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing else like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than that than to bet on them. So to do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag, no one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sportsbook. Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on, and MyBookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play, it's where John plays, and where you should too. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best, so do the smart thing. If you're going to bet on football anyways, do it with MyBookie, and if that wasn't incentive enough, I have free money to give you guys, because right now when you use the promo code LOCKEDON, they will double your first deposit. So you put in $100, they will match your $100 and give you a free $100 with promo code LOCKEDON, all caps. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON at mybookie.ag. They will give you free money to go bet with MyBookie. So go on over there now, guys. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, guys, time to get into the next segment, talking about John's all-time series notes between the Chargers and the Texans, and also getting into some fan questions as well. So, John, you're the expert in all things history with the Chargers. So go ahead and give us what we need to know about the Houston Texans versus the Chargers all-time series.
Well, historically, the Chargers actually own the Texans. We should be undefeated all time against the Texans, but Mike McCoy ruined that when he blew a 28-7 lead against the Texans. The 2-14 Texans, I might add. We are 5-1 all time against the Texans, with that one loss, a 31-28 choke in week one of 2013.
Monday Night Football, correct? Or Sunday Night Football? One of the two.
That was Monday Night Football. I was at that game. I remember the wideout and us having a 28-7 lead. And then the next thing you know, the Texans fans are getting loud and the Texans are kicking the game-winning field goal. Just a roller coaster of emotions. But the funny thing about this is my first ever Charger game that made me a diehard Charger fan, huge fan of LT, was 2004 Chargers-Texans when the Chargers won 27-20 with Eric Parker's game-winning touchdown with 6 minutes left. That game was the start of everything. Without that game, who knows if I'm on this podcast. But there's also some fun games in this series, like the Chargers in 07 winning 35-10. I like to call that the start of the Cromartie game. The Texans had a punt go over their head, and Cromartie recovered that in the end zone. Later on, he got an interception that he returned for a touchdown with a convoy. He ends up getting a second interception that he could return pretty far, but not a touchdown. And he would go on to have 10 interceptions that whole season. And that was the game Cromartie opened up, and everyone became a fan of him. There's also the game in 2010 when the Chargers won 29-23, where Te'e Azeera-Tutu caught 2 touchdowns, including a 55-yarder and the game-winning 28-yarder. And that game, that was the game Azeera-Tutu came alive. And then there's the game that David Drogemeyer went to in Houston that the Chargers won 21-13. That was our last win of 2016. We finished 5-11. After that, we lost every single game. But historically, this is the thing I want to leave you with, because this is going to play a factor in my prediction. The Chargers started their first game with a blowout and then a 7-point close game. A blowout, a 6-point close game. The next game that was supposed to be a blowout, started out as a blowout, was a 28-7 lead. We choked it. We lost. The next game was an 8-point win. So historically, this next game could be a blowout.
Well, we have to hope so, right? I think all Charger fans would take that. I mean, given the fact that the Chargers always seem to be raising our blood pressure every Sunday and never really putting these games away and making it easy for the fans to kind of just have a nice, easy, relaxing Sunday. And unfortunately, as far as the Chargers go, I don't think that it's going to happen. I doubt they just go out there and blow them out, even though that would be very nice to happen. But it just doesn't seem like these Chargers have that in them yet. So hopefully we get to see that. But obviously the Texans have a pretty short history being an expansion team. So there isn't much of a history there, but I remember all of those games. So I feel like that's kind of cool because at least it's a team that the Chargers actually historically do very well against. But let's go ahead and get into some fan questions. All right, we'll start with Dr. Sergio, who asked three questions. And he says, what major trades do you see us doing at the deadline? Trey Pipkin starting left tackle next year. Who are the players that deserve more playing time? So since that's three questions in one, I'll go rapid fire. And this is from Twitter. First of all, Dr. Sergio, I don't think the Chargers will make any major trade at the deadline. Their philosophies really don't match up with that because they just don't ever really seem to make those splashy trades. I mean, Tom Telesco hasn't made a splashy trade since he's been the general manager of the Chargers. He's only moved up in drafts is basically the biggest thing that he's done. So even though there would be some moves out there that would absolutely improve the Chargers, I don't think they're going to make a big time trade this year, unfortunately, because it would be nice to have, you know, maybe a starting corner or starting left tackle. That would always be cool. But the next question, who are the players that deserve more playing time? I think we've been pretty vocal about that already on the podcast. I think we all want to see Nazir Adderley more. We all want to see Drew Tranquil more, and even Roger Teamer, who we found out will actually play this week with Adrian Phillips' injury. So we'll talk about that on a later question. But the last question that he has about Trey Pipkins being the starting left tackle next year. Oh, boy. I mean, you still have Russell Okung under contract next season. So I do not think that he'll be the starting left tackle. I doubt the Chargers cut bait with Russell Okung, but I'm sure they could get out of it for not very much money. I have no faith so far that Trey Pipkins is going to be a starting left tackle or would feel comfortable having him there. That being said, I do see what they have to work with Trey Pipkins. He obviously has some talent, but he is far away from being a starting left tackle in the NFL. So let's go and get into the other questions. And David, we'll start with the one about Roger Teamer, because Heechul Kim asks, how did you read into Coach Lynn's comments about Teamer and Adderley? My take is that he is more confident in Teamer than he is in Adderley. Am I missing something here? So, David, I think it's a fair question. What do you think?
I mean, it's certainly a fair question. But, I mean, if you kind of delve a little into Anthony Lynn's past and how he handles situations, if you miss training camp, it's going to be really difficult for him to feel comfortable putting you in the game. Last year, he didn't want to upset chemistry on the offensive line, so you didn't see much of Forrest Lamp. You had Mike Williams missing five games in his rookie year. These are things that kind of coincide with how Anthony Lynn is as a coach. So Roger Teamer played the majority of the training camp and offseason. He was there. He did get hurt late, but you saw him a lot. And the coaching staff saw a lot of great things in Roger Teamer, so much so that they actually had him penciled in as the backup at strong safety. So that's why you're going to see him worked in a lot. And as far as Nazir Adderley, it's kind of the opposite effect. He just was not there in training camp. He worked his way into things late in the preseason, and the coaching staff just is not comfortable enough with him to put him out there. I have an opposite opinion. I'd love to see him out there, but hey, the coaching staff make the decisions.
Yeah, and this is becoming almost a Forrest Lamp-esque situation as far as having a second-round pick with all the talent in the world who a lot of people thought should go in the first round, not playing because of an injury or coming in late to training camp and not getting up to speed in time. I know that Nazir Adderley is probably not ready to totally start, and that if he did start, there would be some growing pains to go along with it. I'm just okay with those growing pains. If he gives up a couple of big plays, I think he makes up for it with his playmaking ability and the ability to come up and tackle and play center field and make plays on the ball. We saw him almost get three interceptions in the first game he played in for the Chargers. So I get why Roger Teamer's in there. He's going to play a lot of special teams as well, and they feel good in his development because they had time to develop him in the preseason and training camp. I'm on your side, David. I think that Nazir Adderley, you drafted him to be your starting free safety, and I think he should be getting some snaps out there to let him learn on the job, because there's no quicker way to learn than to actually do it. Sitting on the sidelines does not do anything for Nazir Adderley, and I think it could be stunting his growth potentially if you don't at least get him a few snaps. That's my opinion on it. That being said, I am high on Roger Teamer, and it really isn't a slight on Roger Teamer. It's just more of a slight on the coaching staff's inability to really play guys or give guys chances if they weren't healthy during training camp. So let's go ahead and get into the next question. This one's for you, John. It's from Alvin Tunstall, because I can't let David answer Alvin's questions because he'll just get too mad. But Alvin Tunstall says, am I wrong for not wanting Philip Rivers as our quarterback for the next 2 or 3 years? There was one play versus the Lions where Rivers rolled out and threw it away because he had Inman on the sideline, couldn't get him the ball because he can't throw on the run consistently. QBs nowadays make throws like that. John, what say you?
I think he is wrong. And no matter what we have on the field, injury-wise, bad offensive line, whatever it is, Rivers is somehow still making the plays and is the reason why this team wins games, is in the playoff hunt, makes the playoffs. It's all on Rivers. And we don't really have a quarterback who is set to be our new franchise quarterback yet. So having Rivers for the next 2 or 3 years isn't exactly a bad idea. If you could actually get him an offensive line, it would probably help. And with as far as throwing on the run, he does a pretty good job throwing on the run. Just because he misses a wide-open guy on the sideline, there's a lot of guys that have done it. I've seen Ben Roethlisberger, who's great at throwing on the run, miss guys wide open while on the run. It happens. Rivers has done plenty of throws on the run that have become big plays. Most of them are on third down. So to be looking at that one play, I know which play he's talking about. It's not something to say, oh, because of that play, Rivers doesn't need to be here the next 2 or 3 years.
So I'll say this. I mean, I want to say you don't want Philip Rivers being a quarterback for the next 2 or 3 years. I would say that's not totally unfair, because I just don't know what we're going to see over 2 or 3 years. That's a long time. I think with Philip Rivers right now, we're on a year-by-year basis to see where he's at. And I don't think he's going to want to play when he doesn't have it anymore. So everyone's waiting for the drop-off on many old quarterbacks. But at the same time, right now, I don't think that's stopping him from being a good quarterback. So I would disagree with you on that. I think the Chargers are fine with Philip Rivers, and he's not the reason they're losing these games. That's not just an all-out defense of Philip Rivers, but even when he's rolling out and throwing the ball away, some of those times is because the Chargers do not have receivers that are good at making secondary moves once the pocket breaks down. They're not going into their second routes. There's a lot of times if the first route is not open, they are stopping on the route and not going into doing something different or coming back to the quarterback. We saw that last week. Philip Rivers ends up getting flushed out of the pocket. Keenan Allen comes back to the quarterback and makes a reception and gets some positive yardage. So Philip Rivers still can make those throws. He's definitely not the best. And I think the next generation of quarterbacks all are pretty good at that. And that is one of the things that coaches are valuing highly right now, is that ability to kind of run those read options or at least be able to get out of the pocket while on play action and make these throws down the field and in the flats. But at the same time, I think as far as Philip Rivers goes, he's not the problem and he's not the reason why this team is losing these games right now, at least not the primary reason. But that is going to wrap things up for our all-time series and fan questions. For those of you who didn't get their questions answered today, specifically TT850 asking a question about the 2019 Chargers versus the 2018 Chargers, we just didn't have time today. I want all three hosts to be able to answer that one, so we'll get into that on another show. But thank you guys for writing into the Locked On LAC Twitter account so we could do this segment. I think we had some really good questions. I hope you guys keep that up. But we do have one more segment to get into, giving you guys our bold predictions and game predictions for this game. So we're going to get into that. But I need to tell you guys that if you've been missing a little bit of energy and swagger in the bedroom, I have a way to help you, because you can feel like the Chargers are scoring a touchdown in the bedroom every day with BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can always be ready whenever the opportunity arises. It's not about if you can or can't. It's just about taking your bedroom game to the next level. And the best part is about it, guys, no more awkwardness. It's all online doctor visits. You don't have to pick them up at the pharmacy. And every package is shipped to your house in a discreet package that'll just probably blend in with your girlfriend's Amazon packages. So there's nothing to lose right now with Blue Chew, guys, because with promo code Locked On, you can get your first shipment for free with that promo code Locked On. All you have to do is spend $5 in shipping. The product is free with Locked On. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment of the day, and I'm a little nervous right now because I'm still not quite sure where I'm going to go with this, but it's time to get into our bold predictions and our game predictions. So let's go ahead and start with bold predictions, and let's go ahead and start on the defense where we're going to see some new faces this week. All right, who am I going to start with? John, you're first this week. Who are you going for defensively for your bold prediction this week?
I'm going to go with Denzel Perryman since he's been showing up as full participant at practice. I am going to say that he has 8 tackles for a loss in this game.
I hate you. All right, so 8 tackles for a loss. I wish. I mean, that would be nice. That's too bold. John's bold prediction is never going to come true. It's okay, though. All right, my bold prediction this week, it's going to be a little bit of a different defensive bold prediction and probably one that people aren't going to be too happy about. But I told you guys on the last show that the Houston Texans have a streak of 8 straight games where they've given up at least 4 sacks. My bold prediction this week is that even with Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, I think that the Chargers are going to be the team that stops that streak and does not get 4 sacks in this game. So that's my bold prediction against a pretty bad so far Houston Texans offensive line. And that just seems to be the Chargers' way. When it seems like they have to do something, that's exactly when they won't do it. And that's what I'm basing that bold prediction on this week. I don't know if the Chargers have 4 sacks in them with their 2 combined sacks during the first 2 games of the season, but I really hope they do. David, where are you going this week for your defensive bold prediction?
I'm a little sad because John took the player that I wanted to use for my bold prediction, but I will pivot, and I'm going to pivot to Uchenna Nwosu. I think Uchenna Nwosu is going to have a very good game in this one. I think the Texans are going to focus a lot of their energy, and rightfully so, on Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, and I think this is going to free up Uchenna Nwosu to shine. So I'm going to go Uchenna Nwosu gets 2 sacks and a forced fumble in this one.
I like that a lot. Oh, Uchenna, I really like the way he's played. I thought he's actually played pretty well, but we haven't really seen him totally unleashed to get after the quarterback, which is something you saw him do extremely well in the preseason. So I hope they can get him in more situations where he can pin his ears back and go after the quarterback. But in run support on plays like that, especially coming from the strong side and chasing plays down from behind, I've been really impressed with Uchenna Nwosu so far this season. I like the thought of him getting in the action and putting Deshaun Watson on his back because he's definitely one of the Chargers' more athletic guys, and I think one of the guys more equipped to take a guy like Deshaun Watson down. But for my defensive bowl prediction, I'm going to go with Roderick Teamer, a guy we just talked about a little bit in the fan questions about him playing a lot this week. I think that the Chargers, one thing they're going to do this week is send some more safety blitzes. I think you've seen it against really mobile quarterbacks like Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes when the Chargers have played those teams in the past. When you have a guy like Deshaun Watson that can break tackles and break sacks and really make plays outside the pocket, one of the things that Gus Bradley likes to do is send Derwin James in, a guy that he knows is going to come off the edge and not miss that tackle on the quarterback. Well, you don't have Derwin James right now, but if you want to talk about the most versatile guy in the preseason, that has to be Roderick Teamer lining up at so many positions defensively, and now we finally get to see him in some game action. I think he's coming in with some heat this game. I think the Chargers run some defensive back blitzes. Maybe Desmond King gets in on the action too. But Roderick Teamer this week, I'm going to say, has a sack and an interception in his first regular season game with the Chargers. I'm going to go with that. Offensively, let's go ahead and get into that. I started with John. Now I'll go David. David, offensively, before John can steal your pick, where are you going for the offensive bowl prediction?
So the offensive bowl prediction, I think the easy person would be to go to Keenan Allen, but I think they're going to focus a lot of their energy on Keenan Allen. And so that's going to free up Mike Williams to have a big game. He had a pretty decent game last week, 3 catches, 83 yards, but I think he's going to be, I think he's healthy. He's practiced fully this week. So that's definitely a good sign. And I think that's going to bode well for this Sunday. And he's going to have 6 catches, 120 yards, and 2 goal line touchdowns.
I like that. That's a good one. So I have John telling me that I'm really going to hit his bold prediction right now. So whatever, John, just say what you want to say.
Well, since Wade likes to take 2 bold predictions on defense, I'm going to upset Wade.
What was my second bold prediction?
That the Chargers are not going to keep the sack streak alive.
Oh, he's yeah. right, you know.
That is true. Oh, my God. What am I smoking today? I don't know. I get 2 bold predictions. That
already. Happens. Oh, you're going to be wanting to smoke something of what I'm smoking after I say this. Antonio Gates will randomly show up and throw a touchdown pass to Phillip Rivers. Okay, on a serious note, I'm going to say that the tight ends will actually perform this game. I'm going to say they get about 10 combined catches and 2 touchdowns between them.
No, it's just not going to happen. No, I like the tight end position, especially with a guy like Lance Kendricks coming in. I think that when you have a guy like Kendricks, who's getting up to speed with what the Chargers want to do offensively, it's hard to expect a ton. But, I mean, as far as what you have there and the options available to you, you're doing much better than you were last week. And I don't think anyone can really argue with that. So, for me, last week, offensively, I went the Chargers rushing for over 180 rushing yards. And this week, I'm going to go opposite. I'm going to go Phillip Rivers in this game. I heard him taking a lot of slack from a lot of the media last week about that game against the Lions. Phillip Rivers is always a guy who's had bad games and then come back and bounce back with really good games. I think Phillip Rivers goes off in this game, guys. I think he goes 375 plus yards and 3 plus touchdowns in this game. I think this is a big Phillip Rivers game, and I'm excited to see what he does there. And if Antonio Gates shows up to this game, I mean, does he get arrested? He's not supposed to be there. He's not part of the team.
And a touchdown to Phillip Rivers.
No, but how funny would it be, though, if we saw Phillip Rivers doing the Philly special and Phillip Rivers rolling out and catching a ball from Hunter Henry, or in this case, Virgil Green or Lance Kendricks in the end zone?
That would be pretty sweet. On SportsCenter for the rest of time.
All I'm saying is he ran for 12 yards last week, his longest run since 2015. So anything can happen. All right, let's go ahead and get into the game prediction, guys. We're running a little long, so let's wrap things up. David, you live in Houston. How do you think this game's going to go?
I don't live in Houston, but I do Close live enough. In Texas. Yes, okay.
Close enough.
Well, so before I watched the games that the Houston Texans played, I was very scared of this game. I thought Deshaun Watson was going to run all over them and throw all over them. But after watching the first 2 games, he really doesn't really run a lot. He is always looking to throw the ball first, and I think that's kind of why he gets sacked more than, you know, an athlete of his caliber you would suspect would. But because of that, I think the Chargers are going to be able to harass him and get him on the ground. And I think the Chargers are going to win this game. I did not believe they were going to win before, but I do believe they're going to win now. I think it's going to be a 28-14 Chargers win.
Yeah, hopefully you're right. And let's also keep everyone in the loop as how we're doing so far on our predictions so far this year. So as we all know, Daniel Wade leads the way with a 2-0 prediction record, followed by a 2-way tie for second place by John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, who have voted for the Chargers to win, who have predicted the Chargers to win every game. Not me. In this game, I'm doing the same because I don't think the Chargers are going to win this game either. No, I do actually think the Chargers are going to win this game. I like what you had to say there, David, about how you think this game is going to play out. I think that the Chargers squeak out a win in this one because I think that they have... I think last week you were going up against a team that... whose strength was stopping the pass and your strength was throwing the ball. And I think that hurt you a little bit. And I think what they did offensively, having those 2 big receivers on the outside, hurt you. And this week, I think that what the Texans do well and what the Chargers do well, I think the Chargers match up very nicely as far as having a good pass rush going up against a bad offensive line, because the Lions and the Colts offensive lines are both much better than the Houston Texans offensive line. So I give the Chargers the edge right there. Without Jadeveon Clowney, I still think the Texans defensive line will have success against the Chargers offensive line, but it won't be as game-breaking as it would be if Jadeveon Clowney was there. I think the Chargers find a way to pull this one off. I think they go back to scoring points, and I think they finish out a close one. I think it's going to be Chargers 31, Texans 24. John, how do you see the game going?
Well, I'm glad that Wade picked the Chargers to win, because Lamblock pointed out a cool stat to me. Whenever me and David pick them to win and Daniel picks them to lose, the Chargers are 0-2 since he's been listening, but I can think of 0-3, including the 1-15 Browns game. So thank God Wade picked us to win. I'm going to pick us to win as well based on historical facts. We historically own the Texans, and based on it, saying that we should have a blowout win here, I'm going to say the Chargers win this game 35-13.
I can't believe I picked that game. I don't even want to think about that game. Even though I bring it up all the time, it sickens me, that game. You guys, anytime I hear someone say the Browns won one game in two seasons, all I can think about is that stupid game. If the Chargers could have just done what they needed to do, the Browns could have went 0-32 over two seasons. Come on, guys. Be better.
And oh, right. You also predicted us to lose week one last year and the Lions game last week. So, Wade is bad luck.
Yeah, I am bad luck, but I picked them to win this week. So, I think they're in pretty good condition. Let's hope we can get back here to 2-1 next week and have a game against the Dolphins, who might be the worst team of all time, with a chance to go 3-1 going to Miami. I think we all have to hope for that. I think there's a good chance the Chargers get it done this weekend. But we will talk to you guys next week, because that's going to wrap things up for today's show. If you guys want to get your Twitter questions answered, make sure to follow us on Lockdown LAC and to ask the questions there, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from, whether it's Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn. You can find the Lockdown Chargers there. And if you guys want to get your voices on the show instead of just your question, make sure to call into the Lockdown Chargers voicemail line. The number is 323-524-7924. Every voicemail that we get about the Chargers gets played on the show. So make sure you guys call in to get your thoughts on the game this weekend. But we will talk to you guys next week. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.